Dominus Vobiscum, amigos, and welcome back to another episode of the Heavenly Toast Podcast. Thank you for joining me here as we reflect on these readings for the fifth week of Lent. So, in today's readings, we have very common things that come up in the modern world. These are very common readings, I think, especially in modernity, because today's gospel reading is the story of the woman caught in adultery. And a lot of times, I think, especially in the modern world, this comes up because we have this whole attitude of, oh, don't judge me, don't judge this person, you know, all such as that, all of the things that kind of get wrapped up with that. And we even have press conferences of the Pope on a plane saying, well, who am I to judge? And that kind of explodes all over every magazine. And I don't know, it doesn't sit well with me. It seems like, especially recently, we've been getting a lot of fluffy, amorphous theology from a lot of people in Zucchettos, unfortunately. But I think when we look at this particular reading, there's a lot of nuance and deeper meaning. I think it's easy to read it on the surface level, and the surface level message is good, but I think when viewed in the context of the gospel and the Bible as a whole, I think it really opens up a lot of deeper nuances, deeper meanings that we can kind of bring in and chew on and really derive a lot of growth, meaning, and spiritual insight from. So we have the story of this woman caught in adultery. The elders bring her out and they say, "Teacher, this person was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Moses' law says we should stone such a woman. What do you say?" And immediately there's a tension there, because we have the Roman authority to execute criminals, and we have the law of Moses kind of coming into conflict. And some scholars would say maybe there isn't quite so much conflict, because the Jewish leaders didn't have any trouble stoning Stephen the proto-martyr. They didn't have any trouble when they were trying to hurl Jesus headlong down off the brow of the hill to kill him. So there's a little bit of tension there. But Jesus bends down, and he starts writing on the ground in his finger. He says, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." One by one, all of the elders go away, and it's just Jesus and the woman left. And Jesus says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she says, "No one, sir." And Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on do not sin any more." I think in today's world we have this feeling of non-judgmentalism, which in a certain respect is good. It's best not to jump to conclusions. But there is a wide difference between what's happening in the gospel and simply judging an action. The elders are calling for this woman to be stoned. It was an action where a mob or a group of people would pick up not small stones, but rather large stones, and they would throw them at the person until the person was dead, or at least believed to be dead in some cases. There's a huge difference between judging the moral content of an action and executing a sinner. Those two things are not the same thing. Condemning somebody to death and simply saying that this action is incorrect and this action is wrong, there's a wide disparity between those two things. And I think when we look at this reading, what we have is not a call not to judge people or actions, but a call not to condemn people. In the greater context of the gospel, Jesus is calling sinners into a fuller, more complete, more joyful, more love-filled life. And I would argue that Jesus does judge this woman's actions, because in the last sentence, he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on do not sin any more." There's a pretty heavy implication there that this woman has sinned. That's not necessarily a... It's obvious from the text there. But that's not what Jesus is calling for. Jesus is not calling for the condemnation of sinners. He's calling them into this fuller, more complete, more ardent life. And it's said all throughout the Gospels, perhaps most beautifully, when Jesus says that he is the physician, and that those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. And what's he calling people to? He's saying, come near to me, I will come near to you, and by my presence, by my balm, I will heal you. I will bring your life into greater health and bring you to greater integrity in that life. Not just of your physical body, but of your spiritual body as well, of your soul. I will bring you and restore you. And this is the action of God. This is not our action. In the second reading, we have a piece of St. Paul's writings, and he says that he's depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So he's saying, it's not going to be my action, but it's in drawing near and conforming myself to him, even to his passion and death, that through that grace I might attain the resurrection from the dead. It's the love of Christ that impels us forward, that we're pursuing that goal. We are acting in accordance with grace, but we are always drawing near to him who doesn't desire our destruction or our condemnation, but certainly knows of human sinfulness. He knows of the things that we fall short in, and that we do in fact fall short in things. And he takes all of that upon himself and comes into our midst to heal us through his grace. When I look at the parable, or the story rather, of the woman caught in adultery too, I can't help but think of infidelity. Infidelity is a very common theme throughout the Old Testament. We have God who presents himself as the bridegroom, who sets out his covenants so that he can take his people, Israel, his bride, to himself, and that they might be together. He sets up these covenants like a bridegroom, and Israel repeatedly turns away, going to strange gods, strange lands, intermarrying with strange cultures, adopting them and turning away from God. And in this character of the woman caught in adultery here, I see sort of an echo of that. As Jesus says, woman, where are they? Woman is kind of that term that's always used in Genesis. It's a term that doesn't necessarily mean just particular you, woman, but woman in terms of everything, in terms of the bride, in terms of Eve. He's recognizing within us that we all have turned away from God in some way. We have all been unfaithful. We're all guilty of infidelity in some way, to God, to our friends, to our church, to whomever. And it pains me to think of all those times that I've turned away from God, that I've turned away from my friends and those people that I really care about. But God offers us a way out of that. In the first reading today from the book of the prophet Isaiah, we have God speaking to his people, and he says to them, see, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way, in the wasteland, rivers. I can't help but think that we see in this passage a prefigurement and kind of a prophecy of where Jesus says that there are springs of living water that he will give us, gushing up into eternal life, and that he will give us his body and his blood, his whole being, his whole self, in the gift of the Eucharist. God draws near to us, even when we're unfaithful, even when we stand rightly judged, and in all honesty, rightly condemned. But it's not God's goal to condemn us. It's not his goal to cast us into hell because we've sinned. He's consistently moving to be the divine physician. He does something new in Christ Jesus. He reconciles the world in himself and to himself by taking on our very human nature, by bearing our infirmities, by being near people caught in adultery, by being near people who have been unfaithful, by walking with them and calling them to sin no more. So today is the fifth Sunday of Lent. It begins what's known as Passiontide, which are the last 2 weeks of Lent, where a lot of statues and imagery get covered with purple sheets so that we can't see them anymore. The altars, the churches, look a little bit more bare and a little bit more stripped. They remind us that we are approaching this great climax of Good Friday and of Easter. In these two remaining weeks, we can always double down on our Lenten observances, on our penances, on our life of prayer, on our life of almsgiving. And we can be confident that we're approaching the Divine Physician who absolutely recognizes our guilt, who absolutely stands by us, and who recognizes the depths of human misery and of human sinfulness, but who is always willing to take us back. In Christ Jesus, he does something new by drawing near to us, even in bodily form, certainly in the time of the Gospels, but also in this great gift of the Eucharist, and in the great gift of the other sacraments, penance, holy orders, matrimony. He's always near to us through all of them, but especially in the gifts of the Eucharist and in penance. So it's a great time to avail ourselves of those things, to draw near to the Divine Physician, to tell him, "Hey, Lord, I am guilty, and I'm sorry. I apologize for being unfaithful to you. Help me to live that fuller, more ardent life that you desire to give to me. Help me to turn away from these things, to right my affections, and to help me to be healed in body, in mind, and in my soul." Until next time, stay in the state of grace. God bless, friends. Cheers.